Hi guys, it's Megan bringing you the Daily Dish here in 30 Rock. It's just me today, no Rachel. And now that I think about it, this is probably the first time I've done the intro without her, like, taking over. So, I don't know, it felt nice. I'm here in a room with Grace.
Hello.
So, she's gonna be listening to me. You know,
this time.
Try to carry this thing on my own. But actually, I think it's going to be a pretty good show because we have an interview with Ramona Singer. She came in like a tornado, as only Ramona can do, and gave us like so much good info in such a short amount of time. I even got her to talk about Jill just a little bit, so look out for that. And then we're going to have Andrew Herman, who's a fellow digital producer, talk about that insane fourth part of The Real Housewives of Atlanta reunion.
Oh, I'm gonna get away from y'all. See, that's the type of I be talking about.
He was there. He's telling us all about what was happening during that massive walk-off and kind of what the reaction of everyone was to hear this revelation for the first time that it was Phaedra behind this whole thing. And then we have an update from Teresa Giudice herself. It's good. Hi guys, I'm here with Ramona Singer. Crazy season already, and I feel like we just got started.
Yeah, it's like we just got out of the box, or just out of the races, you know, or into the races. It's crazy.
Do you feel like you're in the hot seat right now in terms of, like, where the season is?
I don't know if I feel like I'm in the hot seat. I mean, I'm definitely the one who's unfiltered. I'm definitely the one who says what's on my mind, and somehow it didn't go down quite right. I think my delivery, asking Bethany how she's handling the situation with her daughter in the school, it was coming from mommy to mommy, but she mistook it like, I'm trying to mommy shame her, I'm trying to embarrass her.
Has anybody approached your daughter? Have you explained to her the situation? Or
at six? Yeah, she got
approached. No, I'm asking.
Diane Sawyer came to her schoolyard and actually approached her.
No, kids talk. Like, kids are very sophisticated.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Hello. I knew what Bethany was and who she was and what she did 10 years ago. And you know what? It made her who she is today, which is fabulous. And I know she loves her daughter more than anything else in the world, just like I love Avery. I'd take a bullet for her. So I was speaking from, like, concern because I just came from my daughter's college. Like, hey, how are you handling this? And she just took it really negatively and tried to make fun of it and was just had a really bad attitude about it. And I was like, I was really shocked because I just thought we were in a different place like then.
On the show, you mentioned that you kind of went through something similar when Avery was young. Were you referring to Alex McCord and those?
Yeah, I was referring to Alex. My daughter was going to a very elite private school. She was around 9 years old, and she called me and said, Mom, what is going on? One of your castmates is naked all over the tabloids, and the school almost kicked out my daughter.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I really was concerned for her to see, were there any ramifications? And I was there to speak to her and support and to perhaps help her through it or just to be there really just for support. And if she didn't want to talk about it, all she had to say was, hey, Ramona, thanks for your concern, but it's all under control. Or, hey, Ramona, like, not now. I don't feel like talking about it. And instead, she just went crazy on me. And then later on, I think Carol says, well, you know, she's having a hard time with her ex. I mean, I don't know. I just thought that was, how was I supposed to know? I mean, I had a hard time with my ex. I was married 23 years compared to her 2 years. So, I mean, like, really?
Jill Zarin has been saying some things on Twitter, like kind of being negative toward you.
Oh, I don't even want to talk about her. I could care less.
Okay.
I don't really engage with people who are negative. It's bad karma, bad energy. That's the reason why I look so good. Good energy.
She does look really good. Will we see your relationship with Bethany recover this season?
Yeah, Bethany and I do finally come to a place. I do realize now with Bethany that she's a different type of a woman than I've ever encountered. You know, definitely she is. I mean, she's self-made like I'm self-made. She's determined like I'm determined. But I can talk about any subject, anytime, anywhere. And with Bethany, I realize if it's something that is a little bit not the most positive, let's say, or if she looks at it as most, she has to be the one to bring up the subject. She does, you know, she's the one that likes to drive the cart.
Yeah.
So
some people call it a Sophie's choice. We call it a Sophie Stanberry's choice from Ladies of London.
It's Sophie Stanberry here. Get the tunes
zone because I'm ready to dance, bitch.
If you can only pick one best friend for life, would it be Sonia or Dorinda?
I have to take them both. Sorry.
No.
I can't choose. I love them both. I can't live without. I can't live without either of them. I love them equally.
That's sweet. When you heard Tinsley Mortimer was going to be on the show, what was your reaction? I have to imagine, as a New Yorker, you know knew who she was. I had certainly heard of her.
Well, you know what? I wasn't sure. I had met her socially a few times, and I felt her a little aloof and cool. So I thought, gosh, for the show, that kind of personality is not going to go very far. We need someone who's really like a live wire, right? Especially when you're entering with six other women that are strong. But then when I found out she was friendly with Sonia, I said, okay, Sonia definitely only likes to associate with people who are upbeat and fun and have an opinion. And I give her a lot of credit, Tinsley. I mean, she came on to a show with six strong women, and I think she held her own.
Yeah, so far seems to be. When Luann didn't invite you to her wedding, were you hurt or did you get it?
I wasn't hurt and I didn't get it. But then that's Luann. She doesn't always make sense with her decisions. She said, oh, well, because I didn't want any drama. And I'm like, well, hello. The only one who created drama has been Tom. And I really bridged her relationship with both Carol and Bethany. I mean, she was on the outs. These girls, Bethany and Carol, wanted nothing to do with her. Nothing. They were banning her from everything. And I really, really worked on her behalf to get them to embrace her. And then for her to turn around and not include me with an invitation, I thought was just pretty, very Luann.
Yeah.
You know, I think sometimes Luann is in her own world and is very just for Luann.
Yeah. I had asked Luann because, you know, last season was rough for her. And I said, was there a point where you thought, maybe I won't come back? Was there ever a season for you where you were like, I don't know if I can do this anymore?
The only time I thought that was season two. Jill had the idea to keep everybody separated during the reunion. And she and Bethany were on the opposite couch. Now, I'll give you a little secret. The people who are on one couch are allies. The people on one couch are allies. The people against each other from the couch that face each other are adversaries. So I had both, not just Jill, but Bethany going after me nonstop. And I think I've gotten better now with my words. I'm able to stand up for myself more. Back then, I was not able to. And because I don't really have the verbal skills, the quick wit that, let's say, Bethany does or Dorinda. I'm just more business smart.
Right.
And yeah, they attacked me like you cannot believe. And I went home. I couldn't get out of bed for a day. And I remember then Mario, I said to him, I don't think I can do the show anymore. I can't do this. And he actually said to me, hey, it's like giving birth. You'll forget it.
Yeah.
And now reunions are a piece of cake for me.
Well, given that secret, how do you think the couches will be divided at this year's reunion?
I'm not really sure because the season's not over. But let's say I guessed it right last year. So probably this year it'll be me, Sonia, Dorinda. The other couch will definitely be Carol and Bethany, which is kind of funny because last year Carol and Bethany and I were on the same couch. Then you have maybe Luann will be on the same couch as Carol and Bethany. Okay.
Tinsley.
And then we have Tinsley. Tinsley will probably be with – so it'll be the four blondes against the three brunettes. Nothing I want to say that way, but yeah, that's I think it's going to – but I could be wrong. We'll see.
So yeah, Ramona was in and out in under 10 minutes. She had something else to get to, which I'm just so happy she made time for us. And I feel like even in a small amount of time, we got so much good stuff out of her. Yeah, apparently her and Jill, not friends anymore. So that's good to know. And it is funny because after we talked, I went home and I started rewatching season two of Real Housewives of New York. Why season two? I'm not sure. I think that I've seen season one way too many times, but I still wanted the newness of like the early seasons. It's really different. I mean, you know, the biggest memorable moment from this season is Kelly Ben Simon saying to Bethany, I'm up here, you're down here. But also it was full of so many other gems. Like, remember when tennis was the big drama of the season? And I feel like now Bravo has elevated it so much. Well, or really the housewives have. We've gone from like, who's going to be on Jill's tennis match team to does Dorinda do cocaine? We've come a long way. It's also just weird seeing Bethany still doing Bethany Bakes, but also commissioning Alex to make her Skinny Girl logo. Like, we're at the very beginnings of Bethany's success and her wondering, will she ever have a baby? And I just want to be like, Bethany, yes, you will. But then you'll have some heartache. So just a lot. And I think one of the craziest things was, and I don't remember if it was in the reunion or if it was in an unseen moment at the reunion, but Andy asked the ladies something that I feel like today he would never ask. He asked all the ladies, out of everyone here on the couches, who would you vote off the island? And unanimously, all the ladies said Kelly. Like, Bethany would obviously say Kelly, but also Jill and Ramona and Alex were like, sorry, I felt like it was good the way it was. It was just like, yikes. And then Kelly, of course, does come back for season three and thank the good Lord because that's Scary Island. So there you have it. If you have not rewatched the show in a while, I suggest you do. While we're on New York, I just want to quickly talk about the episode because it really touched me in a special way. I was a huge 90210 Beverly Hills fan, and they go in this episode about it, really specifically Andrea and her wedding to Jesse, the bartender.
We watched 90210 when Andrea got married at the court.
Wait, who got married on 90210?
Remember the oldest one? That,
Andrea. The nerdier.
The nerdier one.
You know, the curly hair?
The curly.
She got married on 90210?
On the show.
Wow, that wouldn't be the one you'd pick to get married on that show. Why were they in such a rush?
Because I think she was pregnant.
Oh.
It's good to have role models. And Andrea was the smartest one on 90210.
Why is it relevant? Well, of course, because Tinsley was inspired by this particular episode to elope with Topper.
They went to a court and got married. And we were like, ding, ding, ding. Oh, my God. We can go to a court and get married and nobody has to know. So we got married. We just had to get it annulled because you can't be living at boarding school and be married. And then we got remarried
again. How long later?
At that point, I was 26.
So, yeah, that's just, you know, a shiny gem you get from this show, and I appreciated it. So today I am here with Andrew Herman.
Hi.
He is a digital producer who works on shows such as Below Deck Med, Don't Be Tardy. But today the reason we're talking to him is he works on The Real Housewives of Atlanta and was at the reunion.
I was. It's true.
I mean, I'm still in shock from that final fourth part of the reunion.
Yeah, as is the rest of America, I think.
And I know that you were kind of texting us as things were happening, like, oh my God, we just found out it's Phaedra. Tell me what it was like to be in the room when it was all going down.
I mean, it was a long day, so I guess the first thing to keep in mind is that the camera was rolling for, I guess, 11 hours.
Oh, my God.
And I'd probably been there 14 hours total, all said and done, because we were there early. But, you know, this happened, like, three-quarters of the way in. And at that point, you know, as far as capturing digital content and behind-the-scenes sorts of things, we thought we pretty much had everything we needed, so me and our video producer were considering, you know, oh, should we just bow out now? We can probably leave. And then, you know, the big revelation with Phaedra about those candy rumors happened. And then we basically just hunkered down until the bitter end.
I mean, were you, because you're such a fan, too, of the show. So, like, what did you think?
I mean, it was really unexpected, I think, on certainly on my end, but I think on all of the producers and just even the women themselves, I think nobody really saw that one coming. So,
well, I said in a past episode that when I was at the Beverly Hills reunion, I was fortunate enough to be sitting in a room with production people. So getting to hear their gasps and like see what excited them was interesting. Were you around any production people?
So it was it's a big crew and kind of a small area where they had all of the setups with the tech and AV equipment. So there was kind of the main area where the, you know, show producers and production company was sitting, and they had actually set up a special little booth that was separate with pipe and drape for me and our video producer. So we were watching the feed, and, you know, we could just hear people outside. Yeah. And so we're in that main hallway. So when the ladies are walking off and walking through to the bathroom or back to their dressing room, we were kind of just like there. So peeking out and, you know, checking in on people. But everybody was really shocked. Fun fact, Peter was sitting in our little area for a good portion of the reunion before he had to go on stage and join the ladies.
Well, given that fun fact, why did he walk off stage, do you think?
Cynthia addresses it in her blog on bravotv.com, and I think it's basically sums it up. I think he was just kind of done with the show, or like kind of done with listening to all the rumors and everything that was going on. So I think
he was just over it.
He wanted to end it a little early, I guess.
That's so funny. So during the reunion, they sometimes have scheduled breaks, like go get a drink, go to the restroom. When that all happened, the Phaedra thing, and everyone sort of walked off, was that a planned break?
No. It kind of came at an inopportune time because the day ran pretty much on schedule until that point. So there were, you know, there were some shorter unplanned breaks, and, you know, lunch was had and things were scheduled in that where we took longer breaks, but this was not planned, and it was coming right before they were probably going to break for dinner.
Right.
So this was unexpected and maybe took, I don't know, somewhere around an hour at least
of
break. And then that kind of threw off dinner. So dinner wasn't actually, like, the poor people at Craft Services were like, should we start serving dinner? Should we not? But, you know, they wanted to get back to filming as soon as possible, obviously, to finish talking through everything. So, you know, they went back as soon as everybody kind of touched up and could be corralled back on stage. But then dinner wasn't actually served until much, much later that night.
I mean, just for comparison's sake, Beverly Hills, they didn't even have a dinner break. Like, it didn't go long enough that we needed one. So that's kind of crazy that the night took so long to film it. And I want to get back to that, but first, a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Kim Zolciak's Red Cups.
A solo cup makes everything taste better, and I really enjoy my wine from it. Sometimes wine glasses stink inside.
So during that hour break, we see the ladies sort of scatter to different areas. Kenya's lounging on a couch in the lobby, it looks like. Where are you in relation to that?
So on from like left to right, let's say, on the far left is the grand ballroom where, you know, the reunion is being filmed, the couches are, and then there's a hallway, and that's where all the AV stuff is and where I'm sitting as well. And then there's kind of that, you go from there into kind of the atrium area where you see Kenya making that phone call. And then from there, there's another hallway and an area where all the tables are and Craft Services. And then on the far right end is a smaller ballroom where they'd set up all of the separate glam areas for the ladies.
Okay. So during, you know how we were talking about the different breaks that they have scheduled? What was happening between the ladies? Like, sometimes they'll be fighting about something, but I noticed that, like, at other reunions, like with Beverly Hills, the ladies will go back to joking and laughing. You're like, wait, were you just fighting about, like, this terrible thing? What was sort of the overarching mood that day?
When they take breaks, they take breaks. So, like, they get up and, like, go back to their glam area and get touched up or go to the bathroom or get food or whatever the case may be. So, you know, as soon as they're allowed to get off the couch, they do. There's not a lot that still happens there.
Right.
Glam is always eager to get back on stage and touch them up as much as possible. They're very concerned with that. But, so there wasn't a ton of banter. They definitely, they all have little bottles of water with straws in them under the couch. So they reach for those periodically. They'll be checking their phones and their makeup a lot whenever there's a lull. But generally, they'll just shoot straight through. And there's so much, you know, everybody's got something to say. So there's not even time in between, really.
So there was water. Any cocktails at any point?
No, there wasn't really any alcohol at the reunion.
Yeah. I'm surprised. It kind of called for it, I felt, like at a certain point.
I'm sure after everything was wrapped. But no cocktails or anything being served during the day.
What did you think about Kim Zolciak's appearance this season?
I mean, it's always fun to see Kim. I think it's funny to see her. You know, you're used to seeing her in Don't Be Tardy, so in kind of a different mode now for the past few years. I think clearly she's been at home saving up that shade and just kind of had it ready at the ready for that finale party at Chateau Charest. So
yeah. I know. I mean, we forget that, like, she can go in on people because we've just been seeing her, like, hang out with her kids. So it was fun seeing her back in, like, the drama.
She hasn't lost her backbone in
not at all. Speaking of Kim, I want to know, of all the housewives that have been on Bravo but are no longer on Bravo, who would you say is the one you miss, you'd want to bring back, maybe?
I mean, these are very different questions. If you're talking about who you'd want to bring back or who was just really fun to work with, you know, different things. You know, I mean, it was great seeing Kim. So, you know, I would always love to see her back on the show. I always have a soft spot in my heart for Lynn Curtin from OC.
Oh, that's a good one.
Like, I would love to know what Cuff Love is up to these days.
Right.
And she's got a lot going on, so.
She's a grandma now.
I know. Maybe it'd be nice to hear from her. You know, Kathy Wakili on Jersey, I always thought was hilarious and kind of funny. One time, a few seasons back when she was on the show, and we were also airing Top Chef Just Desserts, we had her come in and do a tasting with Gail Simmons and Johnny Uzzini. And like, she brought in all this gelato and different like desserts. And then there was so much that she basically just went around the office passing them out for the rest of the day.
That's amazing.
You know, the quickest way to any producer's heart is baked goods.
My favorite on-show moment with Kathy was at a reunion, and she had showed up with like freshly filled lips, and Andy like mentioned it, and she was like, yeah, I thought I'd try something different. He was like, okay, but stop. And then we never saw them again. So you've been here going on 6 years now?
Yeah, it'll be 7 years this summer.
Oh my God. I mean, that's a long time in general, but I feel like especially in Bravo time, because so much programming has come and gone. What were some of the shows that were on when you started?
I mean, when I started, I started with Flipping Out and Atlanta, basically. When I started on Atlanta, I believe it was season 3, and it wasn't even on Sundays yet. Bravo hadn't moved into Sunday programming at that point, so I remember that move being a big deal. I think the year I started, we still had the fashion show, Ultimate Collection. Oh. And Iman was one of the hosts. That was pretty cool. Work of Art. Still a lot of competition reality.
Yeah.
I think the biggest difference is just the quantity of, like, hours we have. We had much less programming 7 years ago compared to now, which is great.
So since you work on Below Deck Med, anything you can tell listeners, fans of the show, of what they can expect this season?
I think the biggest, you know, tidbit I can throw you is that, you know, some familiar faces in the Below Deck franchise may may resurface at some point this season. So look out for that.
That's exciting. Southern Charm Savannah has aired.
Yes. Another, our first foray into another Southern Charm area.
What did you think of the premiere?
Savannah definitely has a different feel than Charleston. You know, it's hard to put your finger on, but it definitely has like a different character. And, you know, it was interesting seeing how they, you know, go out and party versus the Charleston people,
right.
I think.
Yeah, that's what I had thought, too. I was like, I'm just happy it's different than original Southern Charm because you didn't want the exact same thing. And these people are in some ways much more eccentric, I thought. Like, yeah. Nelson.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely interesting that they all went to high school together. It's, you know, I think that in and of itself is an interesting thing.
Right.
Because, you know, how many people can say they still talk to, you know, such a large group of people from
right.
grade school on?
And they've all sort of left and come back, which I think is also interesting.
Yeah,
at least
I mean,
two of them.
Just can't quit Savannah. The mystery and the history. It's also funny, you know, I think it feels different, but there are a lot of similarities too, because there's, you know, Nelson's kind of odd brush with politics and getting caught in a bit of a scandal, which kind of mirrors Thomas's own issues in the past with politics and getting mixed up with the wrong sorts of people.
Right. I'm like, I need to actually Google that more myself to find out what exactly happened, because that seems like a long story.
Yeah.
And Daniel's backstory is interesting with his father having gone to prison and him taking over.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But is he a lawyer or is he
is
he running
unclear.
The office?
Like, he runs the office, but in what capacity?
I mean, I'm sure we'll find out more.
Yeah.
Also, I think the one thing that I think, like, and this is just a personal thing, like being, like, when Ashley jumps into that lake in the middle of the night, isn't that kind of dangerous? Like, what's in that lake?
Like, gators, I'm sure.
You can't see anything if it's that dark.
No, that really bothered me, too.
After doing shots? No.
No. And then in the same episode, we see that her house catches on fire. And she's on the phone with her husband, like, or was it her son?
She was oddly calm.
Maybe too calm, because she's talking to what I presume was the child, being like, well, you shouldn't still be in the house. Like, get out.
Well, when she was making her exit, too, she was just like, oh, it was kind of a throwaway. Oh, my house is on fire.
I know.
Go.
That was amazing. I also kind of felt for the other girls, because I know that feeling when, like, something serious is happening, but you're having fun and maybe you're slightly buzzed and you're like, do I do the right thing and like go help this person, or should I stay here and finish my drink?
Yeah, I mean, what do you, you know, you spend all this time getting ready to go
right.
out.
Someone
you're in a different mindset.
And
who even knows what's going on?
So I like that the solution was just to get a to-go cup.
Well, I hope that they took care of that dog.
Yeah, I know.
Because I don't know where that dog ended up, but I hope in one of their homes.
True.
Until the fire issue was resolved.
Ugh, crazy. So, you know, we've talked to Andrew now, and we talked to Charlie Leverage, who worked on Sweet Home Oklahoma and Don't Be Tardy a while back. What are shows you're interested in getting more information out of? We have connections, and we can make it happen. So tweet us at Bravo TV and use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish. But now I want to go into a little something special we got from Teresa Giudice. Teresa has given us an update on Joe. It has been a little over a year since he went to prison, which is crazy to me. It seems like we were just watching that episode of him going away. And so it's a videotaped update. And while we're going to play the audio here, I really want everyone to watch it, okay? Go to bravotv.com. We have the clip, because Teresa is donning a brand new hairstyle. Some call it a half-up pony. I call it a sexy shih tzu. And she really looks amazing, I think. But again, it's different. So check it out.
Joe's been away now for over a year. He's lost over 30 pounds. He's really toned, really fit. He looks amazing. He's taken a lot of classes, doing a lot of studying, and he just got student of the month.
I'm so happy she updated us on Joe. I remember her saying in an interview I did with her that he was really focusing on his education while he was in there. And student of the month. Wow. I'm glad to hear that he's doing well. I'm counting down the days until New Jersey returns. But in the meantime, I'm going to get back to watching season 2 of Real Housewives of New York. I hope I did okay as a solo host this time. Rachel will be back for the next episode. But let me know how I did. Tweet us at Bravo TV using the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish. Hashtag we love Megan more than Rachel. Because, you know, I really just like to drive her crazy. So, thanks.
With me, with the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss me.